Now, let me tell you, the first component of visual communication is light and shape. This is the first component. You know, we don't notice it, but somebody under this light, photographed, will look completely different if we use a flash. If we switch on these halogen lights, which happens when VIPs are here and video cameras are there, you will find photographs or television films taken in that condition gives a completely different expression to that man and his attitude. Now, what does this mean? Because I have covered many functions over here and I have seen endless amount of photographs. I have used my camera myself several times in this particular hall. And what happens is that before we choose, and if we have not taken the photograph, what we must notice is the light is the biggest component, is the most important component, because had these shadows and light and shade and this stark contrast been not there, the picture would not have had the impact. If they had used a small camera with a built-in flash or put the flash right in the center, this would have been completely different. Do you get me? So, kindly understand, chiaroscuro, or the light and shade, is the first thing. To my photographer, fellow photographer friends, I would say that even before you take the photograph, study the lighting. And you should use the appropriate lighting. I am not a dogmatic one who says that don't use flash or don't use that kind of lighting or you have to take it only on available light. No. But the point is, for every subject, for every mood, there is a particular kind of light. And in visual communication, the first thing that we must understand is how light modulates a subject, how light conveys a particular idea about a subject. Now, if I want to look somebody, I mean, those of you who had been to the institute might have seen a film which I keep on showing. It's called Revolt of Toys. Now, in it, there is a Nazi officer who is shown almost behaving like a devil. Now, how do they do it? They put the lighting reflected from, light is coming from below, and that gives a shadow on here. That gives a shadow, the nose shadow goes on the floor. It's highly unnatural, and that makes him look like a devil, a human being, young man, very attractive, German, but it makes him look like a veritable devil, you know, just by bringing the light down. While his opponent, who is an old toy maker, has got a flowing beard and flowing white hair, the light, when he is making toy in his own den, you know, hidden from this world war, the light comes, falls from top, and he looks almost like an angel. Now, this transformation has been brought about entirely by light. So I would say that light is the most important thing. We don't realize, but even when we are editing, we are not taking the photograph, but to observe the lights, what is falling. The flat light sometimes is not the best light, or a very dramatic light is not the best light. Every situation, every person has an appropriate light. Am I clear? Okay. Now, I show you a second one. The same person. What do you make of it? What is it you get? Tell me. Come. I think the first thing is, this does not say, maybe you are shy, so you are not reacting that sharply, but please don't feel shy. This picture does not say that he is, and let me tell you this story, otherwise it will be incomplete, that he is one of the leading heart pioneer in heart surgery. And his patient, after the surgery, on the operating table where the photograph was taken, has died. So he is under shock. He can't believe that something has happened. He's definitely contemplating. He's trying to find out what has gone wrong. So his thoughtful and rather pained expression is absolutely genuine, which has been captured extremely effectively. But what this picture does not tell you, probably this picture tells you in a second, that he is a doctor, he is a surgeon, and he is operating with utmost concentration. Now, how do you get it? Kindly tell me. Yeah? Mask is clear. And this thing is there. And that he is concentrating intently through this glass to something very close. Isn't it? Okay. Extremely good. Now, what is this, after all? And what is this spectacle? These are visual shapes. And if I may say so, these are visual symbols. We are used to certain kind of visual symbols. So when we first see these visual symbols, we immediately recognize that a certain story. We don't need words. Here, it will be futile to write on the caption that he is a surgeon. But, it is a big but. And here I am grateful to my ex-student and very beloved student, Mr. Dr. Bandyopadhyay. He has talked about visual literacy. You can say that he is a surgeon, but somebody in Northeast, where we have worked together, will not be able to say that he is a surgeon or he is a doctor. Anyone who has not seen a surgeon operating like this, his visual world will be completely different. And let me tell you what happened when we were, what he refers to. We were working in Northeast on certain project about agriculture, preparing some, in those days, video was not there, television satellites were not there, that was even before, much before INSAT and all that. We were experimenting with a set of slides. And in the interiors of Assam, hill districts of Assam, Nagaland, and Manipur, we were experimenting with a set of slides on which, what is the international symbol of poison? What is the international symbol of poison? A skull and a crossbone. So what we did in preparing, hello Mr. Zora, how are you? So what we did was that we had put on the various, a lot of accidents were taking place with pesticide, not proper use of bottles and tins and so on and so forth. So we had photographed any number of bottles and other thing in which my colleague, I think many of you know, Mr. Bandyopadhyay certainly knows, Mr. Shapan Brahmachari had painted this bone, this skull and crossbone. And we had prepared a set of slides with commentary and everything, and we went there. When we went to location, we found, especially in Nagaland and certain areas of hill districts of Assam, in the community hall, you know what is called Deka Chang, there was a skull or model of a skull hanging outside, even in houses. And we asked, what is this for? They said, it brings us good luck. Now, we had to throw away those slides immediately, because exactly what I'm very glad he brought this topic. All that photography was and the effort which we did was because we did not realize that their visual world is completely different than ours. So, when you are communicating with photographs, it's important to know the visual reality and world of your audience. Any questions?
Sir, before you had mentioned that this photograph is of a surgeon, I myself had the temptation to say that to me he looks more of a kind of a Kashmiri terrorist or something like that. Although I'm acquainted with the Sergio. So despite that cross-cultural barrier, still the photo and the...
I think you won't mind my saying so, yes, that is true. But again, this is particularly, don't mind it, it's a sort of particular visual reality with which you have been exposed.
This was my first reaction. If I don't straight up mind also.
Exactly. I mean, excuse me, I didn't want to go into that. Probably you are doing quite a few features that I don't know. Really, as an information officer, you are probably dealing with quite a bit of this kind of thing, or you are dealing with a lot of photographs with things. Because normally, what would the house say? I mean, or you go anywhere in the world, those who, they would say that this is Chinese. Second thing, now coming out of the third thing, which is extremely important, and I would like to start from this one as well as this one, is the tilt of the head, spectacles, and the way he is holding the thing. So the third thing, which is extremely important, after the visual shapes or the visual symbol, which is attained to your visual literacy, is the composition. By composition, I mean how the whole thing is distributed in the frame. You know, everything, a photograph, a film, if there was a film or if there was a television screen, they all have a certain format. And here, I would like to tell you a specific thing. The task is more difficult in television and film because you can't have a vertical one, you can't have a horizontal one. But even for photojournalism, sometimes you have to fit the picture and the composition in a certain space. So it becomes quite a challenge to arrange our subjects in such a manner, and how it is arranged, it is extremely important, the message that it will give. If you take a picture from a certain distance, the same person, same thing, it gives a different kind of thing. And I had brought the thing, but I was hesitating to show it in the beginning. But since Mr. Bandyopadhyay has mentioned my illustrious father, I don't mind now showing two photographs which I did for Sunday Times some time back. I don't know whether it will be. It was a feature on him which I illustrated. Now, when I, and this will illustrate very well the composition. You see, this is what is we call a long shot, taken from a distance. Okay? Now, what is the thing you get? Bengali Babu. Isn't it so? Head to foot with that chopper to other thing and a background sort of thing. But when it comes to showing that sort of aggressive Anglophile that he is, what did I do? Do you see the contrast? Same person, same photographer, but just changing the light, the other thing, and then how did I bring his elderly, apart from the wrinkles and all that sort of thing. All I had asked him to do was to step outside, and the sun was setting. Fortunately, in England, you don't get sun. There was a glorious sun that day, and I could photograph in the setting sun. I didn't use a filter to correct this warm glow, and the picture editor of the Sunday Times gave me a very good credit for this particular picture and used it full page, because normally, you know, It's very difficult to get into Sunday Times this full page. So anyway.